90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll chat with author Dan Barden about his new play being produced by the Butler Theater Department. And I'll also get a preview of the Meet the Artist exhibit at the Central Library.
Then I'll host a roundtable discussion with Travis, plus Lloyd Wright, Clayton Taylor, and Jim Simmons about bringing the Art of the Matter to public television. That's right, TV. Plus, we'll have our arts calendar of events we call...
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR.
Butler Theater begins its spring 2013 season with Pigeons, a new play by author and Butler English professor Dan Barden, February 20th through March 3rd in Lily Hall Studio Theater. Travis DiNicola spoke to Barden about what it's like to create a play with the Butler students.
Dan, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you.
Happy to be here.
So, I have had you on the show talking about more of a history book. I've had you on the show talking about a novel. I've never had you on the show talking about a play before, Dan.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a closet playwright. You know, I started work about 10 years ago. Diane Timmerman, mm-hmm. who's directing the play that we're doing now, Pigeons, asked me to write a play for her Butler actors, for the Butler Theater Department.
Okay.
And up until that moment in my life, I'd considered every kind of writing that there possibly was, but I'd never considered writing for the theater. And that was like the most delightful, you know, writing experience that I ever had in my life. That first play, that was called Luke's Father and the Sled. That was it. That was December of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically every year since then, I've been begging Diane to let me do it again. I've written two or three unproduced plays since then. And she said she wanted me to do it. So we talked over some ideas that we might do, and we came up with the idea for this play, Pigeons, which is the preview is on February 20th. We're rehearsing it right now.
Cool. So I want to hear about the play in just a minute, but what is it about writing a play for you, though, that's appealing in a different way than writing a novel? I mean, is it because you can just focus on the dialogue? Is it a sense of maybe giving some of the control over to the actors and director? I mean, which part of it do you really get into?
Well, the revision process, well, for me anyways, and in the context of the way that I've been doing things with Diane, because Diane does is she starts the rehearsal process with her actors, and basically for the first week or so of rehearsal, she lets me change a lot. So, and there's also read-throughs up until that point, and the read-throughs are, with a novel, I go away for a couple of years, I'm in isolation. I don't talk to many people about what's going on with the novel. With a play, it's like all the characters sit at the table with you and let you know in no uncertain terms how much your writing sucks. You know what I mean? So they're sitting there doing these lines, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh God, that scene is really bad. And as I realize how bad it is, and it's very painful to me how bad it is, because here are these very talented actors and this very talented director being willing to put on my show, I'm almost immediately thrown into how to make it better. So it's like I just go into the next room, I start working furiously, I come back 20 minutes later and I say, I think this is going to work a lot better, try this. And when they try it, it's so abundantly clear whether I've solved the problem or not.
Hmm.
So it makes that whole revision process so much less neurotic for me, so much quicker,
okay.
So much funner.
Yeah.
And also there's
great you can be that, I mean, collaborative with the actors.
Well, yeah, yeah. And also the collaboration is wonderful, and also maybe this is just my perception, but I'm sitting around a table with like 12 people who really want me to succeed. So there's mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm in competition with anybody. I feel like they want this play to be as good as it can possibly be. So they're helping me in any way that they possibly can. So I just get this marvelous support from that theatrical community that I don't experience when I'm alone by myself writing a novel.
Well, and being a part of that community and part of that process too, then I would imagine you're not as tempted to, you know, be the type of playwright who writes, you know, pages and pages of stage directions without any dialogue, because you can really just focus on the dialogue that the actors are saying. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, I mean, one of the things about being involved in the rehearsal process is that I know where I belong in the pecking order. So, like, I'm very afraid of Diane. Her bad opinion of whatever I'm doing during the rehearsal process terrifies me. I'm very afraid of the stage manager. I'm a person that's there to serve the director and the actors and the production people. And I find that incredibly comforting and satisfying to just show up for work, as I will tonight at 7 o'clock, to just show up for work and be like, I'm just the guy that's here to make the words that you're going to speak as good as they can possibly be.
Wow. I mean, but for you to be, I mean, essentially you're putting yourself so much lower in the pecking order than you are when, you know, you're the author of a novel, when you're the sole person there. I mean, it seems like you're sort of willingly accepting this role of like, yeah, you guys share the work.
Well, you know, that's the awesome part of it. I mean, one of the reasons that I adore being involved in theater is that it's a community. You know, I mean, like, everybody rises and falls with the play. I mean, my lines aren't going to be any better than the actors, and the actors aren't going to be any better than my lines. We're all kind of, we're working on it together, and it's so much more fun than any other kind of writing that I've done. Mm-hmm. And I think if you talk to anybody there, at least the theatrical experiences that I've had, everybody feels like they're there to serve everybody else, because it's really...
That's really cool.
The best that you can possibly do is to make your comrades look good.
Yeah. That's awesome to hear. It sounds like a great process for you.
Yeah. See, it sounds a little bit, I mean, I don't want it to sound too airy fairy or utopian.
No.
It's not really that. It's just a different structure than what I'm used to.
No, I mean, it almost slightly reminds me of, you know, like when I hear stories of, let's say, writers on a, you know, Saturday Night Live working together with the cast and, you know, trying things out and rewriting stuff and making it all work. I mean, that, you know, everyone in the end just wants a good show.
Yeah, absolutely. Because nobody's served by prima donna behavior. I mean, in this environment, I wouldn't even think about it. I mean, and my friends... Diane particularly would slap me down so quickly that it wouldn't matter anyways.
So, tell me about the play. Tell me about Pigeons. So what does the play deal with here?
Well, what it is is Pigeons is a term in the AA recovery community for people that are sponsees.
Okay.
So what we have is a group of young women, relatively young women, on a sidewalk outside of an AA meeting in a major metropolitan area. And the sponsor of all of these, there's four women, and then there's a fifth who's kind of like a floater. She hasn't quite committed to AA yet. They're all sponsored by this one woman, Sarah.
Okay.
And Sarah's having a problem, and they can all feel that she's having a problem. They can all feel that something's off with her. And she's such a rock in all of their lives that it's all the more poignant to them that there's something going on with her, but she won't tell them what it is.
Hmm.
So out on this sidewalk at night, you know, in a big city, they all, in their own individual ways, take her to task for it and say, what's going on? You have to tell us. We're here to help you. And so basically this major struggle takes place out on the sidewalk where all
this is like right after a meeting, right?
It's during a meeting.
Or during a meeting.
Yeah, it's during a meeting. The meeting's going on as they're doing this. And and basically this major struggle that reaches into all of their past relationships and all their expectations of each other and everything that they've been through together,
mm-hmm.
is uh, is played out on the sidewalk. I mean, to me, it's sort of like, you know, those scenes in Saving Private Ryan, where the battle is like kind of the battle's over for a moment, and they're all hiding out in a church somewhere, and they get a chance to talk about what's been going on with them, and this big event happens in Sarah's life, and I won't tell you what it is, but eventually, all gets revealed, and these women have a kind of a reckoning with themselves and with each other, and you know, lest that sound too heavy. My hope is that the play is very funny too, and one of the things that the actors and I have been working on is to make it, you know, as, you know, not only poignant and powerful, but as, you know, a kind of a delightful insight into these people's lives too.
Now, all the actors are undergraduate theater students,
yes,
at Butler.
Yes.
So how are they handling coming into these roles and learning about these roles and what you're asking them?
Oh, they're awesome. Yep. They're just awesome. I mean, one of the things that I know about Indianapolis that maybe not everyone knows is that the theater department at Butler University is just world class.
Yep.
The things that go on there are just magical and amazing and off the charts. And I enter that space, you know, the theater where this play is being rehearsed and where it's going to be performed with reverence and humility, because everyone there, from the faculty down to the, you know, the people that are working behind stage, the actors, everyone is so talented. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I feel like, you know, I often feel that way about little places in Butler, you know, that there's this thing going on, and like, you know, how did I not know that the best acting in America was going on, you know, in the building next to where I park my car,
right,
you know? So
that's pretty cool. So I mean, obviously an actor's role is to take on things that they don't understand, but I mean, I mean, dealing with issues of addiction, issues of recovery, I mean, anything like that. I mean, that the actors have been sort of wrestling with and trying to make sure that they're getting it right and being truthful to your words.
Well, I think I'm not worried as much about my words as I am about the performance, but I think that one of the things that I struggled with as we did the read-throughs of the play is opening up the drama enough to where where remain true to its source. It's a story about mm-hmm. people in recovery from alcoholism and addiction, but that it was opened up enough to where everybody could understand it. And I've been very happy and consoled that nobody seems to have any trouble with the drama at all. They mm-hmm. seem to understand perfectly well what the people they're portraying and what their issues are. And Diane understands that. And there's been remarkably little, me talking. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly, you know, sitting on the side of the stage just waiting for dead, awful lines to emerge so that I can say, hey, I'm going to fix that. I'll be right back. I'm going to fix that for you guys. But the story itself seems really solid and really easy to understand. I don't think it's a story for, I think it's a story that'll have special poignance for people in recovery, but I don't think it's a story that's limited mm-hmm. to them. And that's been proven to me time and time again by the reaction of the actors. They seem to totally understand who they are within this narrative.
Well, Dan, it sounds like it's just been a great process for you.
Oh, the best. I'm happier in that black box theater than I am almost anywhere else in my life.
Very cool. It must be really exciting. I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing the opening.
I'm terrified that I'm going to let them all down with my play, but so far they've been making my writing better than I know it to be. So,
well, congratulations on that.
Thank you so
Dan,
much,
Dan. Great to see you.
Yeah. Travis DiNicola with author and playwright Dan Barden. His new play, Pigeons, premieres at Butler University on February 20th. For ticket information, visit the theater department page at the Butler website or call the box office at 317-940-9247. Again, 317-940-9247. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. The entire community is invited to view the works of locally prominent African-American artists during the library's Meet the Artists exhibit, which just opened and continues through March 23rd at the Central Library. This annual exhibit, now in its 25th year, features works from 16 artists surrounding the theme World Outside My Window, a Silver Soiree. Travis DiNicola spoke with Denise Smith from the library's African American History Committee and artist L.J. McCaleb Ducour about the exhibit.
Denise, L.J., welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you both in our studio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You are very welcome. I always get excited about this event. It's such a great celebration each year and a great collection of work that the library puts on each year through Meet the Artist, 25 years. So, Denise, you're on the African American History Committee. You're a librarian. Give me a little bit more background about the event itself.
Well, it's an opportunity to showcase local African American artists. They're different mediums. Some are print artists. Some do mixed media, multimedia, quilting, jewelry, dolls, just a variety of ways to express themselves. And, you know, it's an opportunity for them to really showcase their talents.
How are the artists selected?
They usually contact us, somebody mm-hmm. on the committee, and then, you know, we look at the type of things they do and see if it's something that people would be interested in. Or maybe something that's not shown a lot to let people see that there is a variety of art available.
Have you been on this committee for a while now?
Or? I've been on a little over a year now.
Yeah. And I imagine you start planning as soon as the last one's over, you start thinking about the next one, right?
Yes, because we have people that don't realize how much work goes into it. So they'll hear that it's happening Saturday and they'll come to us and say, you know, can I show some art?
Right.
And we have to explain to them, you know, it's a longer process. So, yes, we have people lined up for next year already.
Well, that's great. Great to hear. And what is it? 16 artists this year? 15, 16 artists?
16 artists. 16. One, Alpha Blackburn, is actually our fashion show coordinator, and she's also showing art. So we have 16 artists.
Oh, very cool.
And then there's 5 authors mm-hmm. who will be there, represent books they've written, and they'll be, you know, there to sell their books and to answer questions about what they've written.
Now, of course, the big gala, which is on Saturday, and there's a lot of events tied into that, but the artwork's actually up throughout the entire month and into March as well.
Yes, the artwork is up already. Mm-hmm. It went up the first of this month of February, so it's on display throughout the library, throughout the various floors in the library, and it stays up until March the 23rd.
LJ, let me ask you about your art. Have you been a part of Meet the Artist before?
No, I haven't.
First year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So tell me about your involvement with it.
Well, I'm also a volunteer for the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to, you know, try to see if I could show some of my photography, because I've always loved it. And so I took what I had to the committee, and I was chosen. So I'm very excited and very happy to be one of the artists featured this year.
Tell me about your photography.
Well, it's mostly portraits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 8x10s in the case. And I wanted to exhibit a larger frame, but as she said, it's a long process. And you have to have it's a deadline before they cut off artist interviews.
Mm-hmm. Have you been working as an artist for a long time?
Well, I've always loved photography since I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sister that paints and draws, and I also have one of my sisters that's an author that's been focused this year, and she was focused last year.
And is that how you first found out about the Meet the Artist?
Oh, no. I've known about Tony for mm-hmm. years.
So tell me about Tony. He's usually with us. He's not joining us today. We've got some new voices with us, but Tony's the person who's been organizing this since the very beginning.
Right, and he is also a very talented artist.
Yes, that's Tony Radford, who mm-hmm. works with the library and is the curator of this and works very hard, you know, to make sure that everything looks good and it presents and shows right, because, you know, you can't just bring something in and hang it up, you know, because it's going to be on display for
right.
this time, so... You know, the library does its part to protect it because we don't want anything to happen. You know, and he works really hard with the artists to make sure that their work is shown in a good light. So
LJ, are you a little nervous at all about having your artwork on display? Or
a little bit nervous. I'm more excited than nervous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with hundreds, maybe thousands of people
mm-hmm.
looking at your work, you always wonder if it's something that they're interested in, if it's something that they like. So being an artist, you just have to go from within.
Sure.
I like it, and I'm just going to think that someone else will, too.
Now tell me a little bit more about your work. Photography, portraits, who are the portraits of?
Some friends, some family members, and then some just acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
And they agreed to let me take their picture, and I saw something that in that picture. I look at photography as the essence of time. It's a link between the past and the present and sometimes the future, because as you resemble people in my portraits, I see different characteristics, especially if, like, I have a picture of my daughter mm-hmm. and my granddaughter, and that's like genetics frozen in time. So that's how I view photography, as my link between the past and the present.
How's it been for you also just seeing the work of other artists and seeing your work in context with those other artists?
I'm just in awe of every artist that's on display. Just beautiful ideas, beautiful things.
Denise, tell me about some of the other artists who are on exhibit.
Well, we have...
You don't have to tell me about all
16.
Names
are just some of the things they're going to be
sure.
showing. Like I said, there's jewelry, dolls, photography. We have another photographer besides Miss LJ. And mm-hmm. we have some people who have done more like portraits, paintings of portraits.
Sure.
Like I said, the jewelry. We've got some handmade leather jewelry. There's the quilt, which is the big talk this year. From the Lynch Quilts Project that was LaShonda Crow has on display. So just a wide variety.
It's gotten some attention already in the newspaper and such because of the nature of that. That's how's the response been? I mean, that you've seen to people seeing that piece, LaShonda's piece that has an image of a woman who's being hung as part of the quilt.
I think the biggest thing is that it has people talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that, you know, it's a part of our history. It's something that happened. You know, obviously nobody liked it. But it's getting people talking. Mm-hmm. And so what we have done as part of the library, because the library fully supports it, you know, Jackie Needis, the CEO, fully supports it. And so we have put information around the display.
Mm-hmm.
So there are books that people can go to answer questions, to find out more things. LaShonda also has a newsletter and a website. And so that information is available to people. So people can, you know, find out more. And, you know, and sometimes we think it shouldn't belong in the library. I think the library is a perfect place for it, because you have the other resources right there to have a further discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
sure.
Exactly.
So. Absolutely. And I know that LaShonda is very thoughtful about how she's chosen her images and also how she creates her work as well. It's certainly not accidental in any way.
Exactly.
Tell me about the gala, because that's such a big deal. I mean, that's coming up this Saturday, Saturday
night.
Yes,
it's Saturday, and our theme this year is World Outside My Window, a Silver Soiree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be big. We're all excited. You know, we've done a lot of planning. There's been a lot of rehearsals. The fashion show has had rehearsals, which hasn't happened in the past. So Ms. Blackburn has really put a lot into it, you know, because she wants
the fashion show is a big part of
it. Yeah, the fashion show, and it's going to be really big this year. She's, you know, hand chosen the designers who are going to mm-hmm. show their items. We've got quite a few performers coming. Lamar Campbell and the Spirit of Praise. We have three poets who will be speaking. Stacey McCracken and the Euphony Band, they'll also be performing. And then one of the big things is Walter King, the Spellbinder of Magic. He'll be there, and I hear he's levitated people in the past, so I'm not
Very
sure what
cool.
he's got planned
oh,
for
I love
us
that.
This
That's
year.
Great.
Tammy Sutton Brown is an author, and she'll be mm-hmm. there with her book, as well as Art with a Heart. They're going to do a workshop for children.
Oh, nice. Nice. Very cool. And the gala itself, that's free? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it's free, thanks to the generous
that's
donations
really
of the Libraries Foundation,
mm-hmm.
along with the Crystal DeHaan Family Foundation.
Sure.
They have, you know, contributed the money that makes this free. And parking is free, and people need to be sure to park in the parking garage.
Oh, right, underneath the building.
Yes, underneath the building.
At Central Library. So, again, and this all starts on Saturday. It starts at, what, 5?
5:45. The library will close at 5.
Okay.
So everybody has to leave, and then the doors open back up about 5:30 for people to come back in.
Okay, and then goes till 10 o'clock that
yes.
night. And again, if you go to the IMCPL's, Indianapolis Public Library's website, the whole schedule there of all the events
yes,
is on there
Yes, it has the time
well.
Everybody will perform as well.
Great, great. Well, very cool. Well, it just sounds like it's going to be a great gala this year, of course, for Meet the Artists, as well as another incredible exhibit. Thank you so much, Denise and LJ, for coming into Art of the Matter today. Great
You're
to have
very
you both
welcome.
Here.
Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with Denise Smith from the Library's African American History Committee and artist LJ McCaleb Ducour. The gala opening reception for Meet the Artists is Saturday, February 9th. That's a Saturday from 5:45 to 10 p.m. The complete schedule is available on the library's website at imcpl.org. imcpl.org. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
Is there any chocolate in your immediate future, like maybe sometime in the next week or so?
What are you thinking of? You know what? I think one of my favorite ads that I've seen this year basically said, hey guys, Valentine's Day is still on February 14th.
That's the Silver in the City ad.
Yes,
I love
that
great? One too.
Yeah, it's
good
still
job,
it's still,
Kristen and Company.
Exactly.
I love
it. It hasn't changed. So,
and
the groundhogs, you know, didn't see a shadow, which means that Valentine's is still on the 14th too.
That's right.
Isn't that how that works?
Warmer on the 14th or
something like that.
It's how it works, and we have some suggestions today for things you can add to the chocolate for a present for your sweetie
there
on
you
that
go.
Calendar that we call What'll We Do?
There you go.
What do you have?
Well, you know what? I do have some great ideas, I think, for Valentine's, but before we get into all of that, probably the best Valentine's gift of all that the symphony could have got was raising all the money that
Yay,
they needed. So congratulations to them. We're so glad to hear that they were able to successfully raise the $5 million from new donors for the Life It's Better With Music campaign. Good job, guys.
Well done, and thanks to all of you who participated in that. And by the way, he said new donors, not nude donors.
Yes,
that's another campaign.
That's a whole other thing. They're doing that next summer.
That's the Valentine's Day campaign.
What? No.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, I have to ask, though, when you're married to a chocolatier,
yes,
you can't very well get her chocolate for Valentine's Day.
We call it OPC, Other People's Chocolate.
Other People's Chocolate. I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, Travis, I know that Elizabeth likes to read as much as you do, so I suspect that I might find you at Indy Reads Books.
Ah, there you go.
Looking for a little treat for
there's some
your
events
lovely
going
bride
on there
for Valentine's Day. And yes, you have all kinds of events, including this coming Saturday the 9th at Indy Reads Books, which is at the east end of Mass Ave, a local author will be launching his book. It's called Friend or Foe, The First Bear Whitman Adventure. So, okay, cool. You gotta
kind
go
of a
there
private
to,
detective story,
exactly
right?
Exactly right. You gotta go there to find out more, and there are more books than you could swing a cat at in New Reads Books. So if you can't find something for your sweetheart, including books on cats,
mm-hmm,
then you're just not trying.
But we don't actually encourage cat swinging at the
We
bookstore.
Do not, no.
Hey, there's a new film festival. It's called the Shining Light Film Festival, for shining a light on mental health awareness. And that film festival actually will be taking place in May at the Wheeler Arts Center, but as part of sort of a preview for that, they're doing a free screening of the film The Three Faces of Eve, featuring Joanne Woodward, and that is on Friday night, February 8th, 7 p.m. at the Wheeler Arts Center down in Fountain Square. And so in keeping with the spirit of this new festival, there's also going to be a panel audience discussion focusing on mental health aspects of the film. And so again, this is part of the whole Shining Light Film Festival, which is coming up in May, but this is a preview that is taking place Friday night at the Wheeler.
I'll see you and raise you one film.
Okay.
On Saturday, February 16th at 7 o'clock, it's a 1935 film called Remember Last Night. It's at the Garfield Park Arts Center, part of the 2013 Vintage Movie Night series. Eric Grayson will introduce it and tell you a little bit more. Tickets just $4 at the door. You don't have to tell your sweetheart that tickets are that cheap. And concessions are available. So here's the storyline. Robert Young and Constance Cummings are the stars. It's as Eric delightfully describes it, another mystery comedy where a couple awakens after a party to discover the party's hosts had been murdered, but they're too hungover to remember the details.
What?
It makes it sound like its own genre. So that's February 16th. You can present, a little gift certificate in your Valentine's card to your sweetheart. February 16th, Saturday, 7 o'clock, Garfield Park Arts Center.
Very good. Hey, at the Phoenix Theater, the musical Next to Normal is continuing on through February 24th. It's had some great reviews. It's a really interesting musical. It's a musical about mental illness, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun that you'd be tap dancing to, but it is. It's actually it's a serious but still very touching and really interesting musical that won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama and 3 Tony Awards as well when it was on Broadway, and now it's at the Phoenix Theater, Next to Normal, through February 24th.
personal acclaim here. I saw it Saturday night, very strong cast, and it is spellbinding. So it's not a musical comedy, as you just said. It is a musical about a serious subject, but really heart-wrenching. Take your Kleenex with you. I have something else going on at Indie Reads Books that will appeal to only the geekiest of geeks
in our
listenership, including me. I love typography. I'm sorry. Go shoot me. It's from a former career in publishing. I just like type. I have a bookshelf full of books about typography. On February 9th, that's this Saturday, from 2 to 4, typography enthusiasts are invited to come to the first call-out meeting for anyone interested in guided exploration of the art of typography. Don't let me be there all by myself. Please, other type geeks, come on out. that's at Indie Reads Books, East End of Mass
Ave. The type of geek you are?
That, you got it.
Oh.
Puns encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there's some great stuff going on at the IMA, of course, including their Winter Nights film series, which continues on with 2001 A Space Odyssey on February 8th, as well as at 7 p.m., as well as February 10th at 2 p.m. Great Stanley Kubrick movie. Also, next week, Top Hat on February 15th, which is a great Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers film, which should just be a ton of fun. And then also, I know this seems so crazy with it being February, but at the IMA, summer camp registration is now open. So if you have kids between the ages of 5 and 16 and are already thinking about what you're going to do with them this summer, well, the IMA is registering kids for camps. They have lots of different art camps that they have throughout the whole summer, and so you can check out the IMA for more information about that.
Which is not the same as registering campy kids, but they might be doing that as well.
They might do that too.
You know what a really great Valentine's surprise might be? Going out for dinner and music on a night other than Valentine's Day.
Sounds like a fine idea.
I like it.
Yes.
And, you know,
might be a little bit easier to get a dinner reservation.
It's the element of surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here is
better
something
to do it before Valentine's than
that's
after.
That's exactly right.
Like the 12th or 13th.
That's why this is
the
my
15th
suggestion.
Is,
Monday,
not so good.
February 11th, okay. 7 to 10:30 at the Jazz Kitchen. No cover charge, great food, and the Icarus Ensemble, comprising musicians mostly from the ISO, showing their jazz side. Intimate space, great food, full bar, and wonderful music. That's February 11th, 7 to 10:30. No cover. Just take your sweetie and have a lovely meal and hear some great jazz.
Sounds good. That sounds very good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, at the Booth Tarkington Civic Theater, The Fox on the Fairway. It's a farce by Ken Ludwig, and it is running now through February 23rd, and it is also a great fun option for Valentine's Day. Go to a show for Valentine's Day, The Fox on the Fairway. Do you know much about that, Sharon, the show?
Only that
it's supposed to be very funny.
It sounds very funny, yeah.
Funny is good.
Funny is good.
My funny Valentine.
Especially for a Valentine, that's right. Hey, speaking of nights at the theater, how about a little night music at the IRT playing through February 16th. Tickets going pretty quickly for that one, though, so if you're thinking of a Valentine's surprise, you better think quickly. And starring Sylvia McNair.
Cool.
Oh, man. We are so lucky we lured her to Indiana to be to teach at IU, and now we can lure her onto more local stages as well.
That is a hot ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but don't forget also at the IRT, Jackie and Me continues on through February 16th, and that's the play about, of course, the baseball great Jackie Robinson.
Indeed. Opera On Demand, Opera Lightweights, is doing one more pair of performances. If you're hearing us on Thursday night, you could go tomorrow night, Friday, February 8th. If you're hearing us on Saturday morning, 8 p.m., the curtain time tonight. Doors open at 7:30. Where? At the Indie Fringe Theater. It's musical theater and light opera scenes. The Intimate Opera does this style of concert where the performances are determined by audience feedback. So it's a little bit like dialing up a playlist on your iPod and saying, oh, I want to hear this one. So you can find out more about that at indiefringe.org.
Hey, it is time to start thinking about the Eugene and Marilyn Glick Indiana Authors Awards, because they are now accepting nominations through March 22nd. Perhaps you remember this very cool award that has been going on for a number of years through the Library Foundation and through the library, and each year awards are given to both to Indiana authors who have a national reputation as well as emerging authors and authors throughout the state. Last year, John Green was the winner, as well as Barb Shoup, and also there was a lifetime achievement for Dan Wakefield, which was pretty cool. So who's it going to be this year? Well, it's up to you. That's the whole point. You can nominate any of your favorite living Hoosier authors, and if you go to, you can get more information, in fact, at IndianaAuthorsAward.org for more information on how to nominate someone and what the eligibility requirements are and all that. So if you've got a favorite Indiana author, nominate them.
Indeed. I have an odd couple for you for a Valentine's Day separation.
No, well, that sounds
celebration.
Very sad.
Yes.
No.
Celebration is what I'm trying to say. Mahler and Mozart, not composers you would put together at a cocktail party, but both represented on the Indiana Wind Symphony Concert Program at 7:30 on Saturday the 16th. At the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts. The Mahler is actually a transcription of the First Symphony, and the Mozart includes the Serenade No. 10 and the Grand Partita. So great ensemble, very serious performers conducted by Charles Conrad. And again, that's coming up on Saturday, February 16th, 7:30, Indiana Wind Symphony, Mahler and Mozart at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel.
There is still time to get tickets, and this would be a great Valentine's Day gift. Tickets to the Adult Swim, which is going to be the adult night at the Children's Museum of Indianapolis. That's on Saturday, February 23rd. What are we talking about? Well, it's a night where the Sapphire Theater Company is basically turning the Children's Museum into a casual chic cocktail lounge for adults only. That's right, no kids. So if you've always wanted to go and play at the Children's Museum and find out what all the kids are really into, well, you can do it this way with cocktails, or and you don't even need to have kids.
Just don't drink and mess with the water clock,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. Don't fall into the water clock.
That's
either.
Right.
That would not be good. But there will be food, dancing, drinks, games, DJs, and so much, much more. And this can you can find out more information about it at AdultSwimIndy.com. Again, AdultSwimIndy.com. But tickets are going fast, so you want to get them now. And again, it would be a really cool gift for Valentine's.
Love that. Another Valentine's suggestion. The 15th through the 17th and the 22nd through the 24th, AUP Cabaret, that's Acting Up Productions Cabaret, they're doing a Best of Disney on Broadway show at the Creative Arts and Events Center. Find out more at actingup-productions.com. Actingup-productions.com.
Very good. Hey, last thing I want to mention is just up at the Actors Theater of Indiana, Musical of Musicals, the musical. That's right. Five musicals for the price of one, three in the title alone. It's very fun, and it is taking place at Actors Theater of Indiana up in Carmel. And these are great Valentine's ideas. And next week we'll be back on Valentine's, Sharon.
That's right.
With that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
The rumors are true. After 13 years on the radio, The Art of the Matter gang is expanding and taking over the TV airwaves, too. Sharon Gamble and I invited the creative forces behind The Art of the Matter on television into our studios, that's radio studios, to talk about this innovative project. In the studio, WFYI's president and CEO Lloyd Wright, VP of production Clayton Taylor, and TV producer Jim Simmons.
So Lloyd, The Art of the Matter is taking over not just television, but the rest of the world as well, and I think that you might be partly responsible for this. Talk to us.
Well, I'm so delighted to be on your show, first of all, and thanks for having me. We are very excited about the expansion of The Art of the Matter across media platforms. And this comes as a result of work that WFYI has been involved with a group of stations called the Public Television Major Market Group,
the top 34 sized markets in the country that have PBS stations. And this notion of developing an arts magazine program that will take advantage of features from around the country that we are able to localize. And so this is something that WFYI is able to embrace, and it fits very well with our desire to create more local content that can be delivered across media platforms, television, radio, online, social media, in person, all of that. And we're very focused in areas of health and wellness, education, lifelong learning, arts and culture, and expansion of news and public affairs. So we're thrilled with the expansion of The Art of the Matter, our signature program on WFYI.
And those areas, subject matter areas you just talked about, have champions within the building, including Clayton Taylor. But it feels important to point out that they really are all interconnected.
Absolutely. This is part of a new way of thinking throughout public broadcasting, certainly at WFYI. I'm the officially the vice president of television production, and so that's where I've always been trained to think about doing things is producing video elements for broadcast on television. Nowadays, though, we are thinking a little bit differently. Newer responsibility is to become the managerial arts champion for WFYI and try to see how we can fit the pieces together in a little bit more holistic way across media platforms. So obviously we're still doing things for TV. As long as I work here, I hope there will be a TV station and that we will be doing that. But beyond that, that we know that the content that we develop clearly can be streamed for web for one thing, but can also be repurposed sometimes for radio distribution as well. And with the final thought, I think along that line, is that as media changes, we know that it's going to be more and more important for our constituents, not just viewers or listeners, but constituents, to create content that's available basically on demand on their timetable. Yes, we will still have something on a particular night that people can tune into, and that's a very important form of distribution, and maybe for years to come. But the other idea is to make it as ubiquitous as possible, as easy to find as possible, as easy to share with your friends as possible.
Travis and I, for years, have been saying we're taking over the world, so, right?
We've been trying to. We still don't have bobbleheads yet, Sharon, but once we get that, then we'll know that we've really made it.
Oh, dear. I'm so worried. Those are the conceptual level pictures and words. Jim Simmons, no pressure or anything, but you're where the rubber meets the road as the producer of the program. Tell us more.
Right. And I've come to today's interview as an answer to both Travis and Sharon's prayers.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, thanks.
I am a messenger. No, the bobblehead's not yet. We're working on those. We can't find the right color for Travis's sweater. There's a group that says orange. There's a group that says green.
I knew it would be dangerous to get these people in the studio.
There's probably not a time that you guys haven't done this show over the years where you haven't looked at a Chihuly or you haven't looked at a photo essay and you haven't said, boy, if we could just show you that. We're talking about it, but if we could just show you what this is. Well, now we can. And I think one of the things that both Clayton and Lloyd explained is that this is a combination of shows, material, that's not only local, but national. And some of the national stuff is really kind of fun. We're going to be talking to Amy Sackett, who's a hip-hop dancer from Minneapolis, who combines ballet and comedic dance with her hip-hop. And they have these ethereal black outfits that they wear. So it's really something to watch, and you can only watch it if you're watching on TV. So that's a good story. Something that, for those of you who like the doo-wop shows when we do membership weeks, there is a retrospective with
Bobby. That was your cue to sing, boys.
Well, no, I'm going to cue them, and I'll make the rest of this really briefly. I'm just trying to give folks a little flavor of what
sure.
they're going to. But I will cue the singing here. Bobby V is, who remembers Devil or Angel? Rubber Ball, remember all those from the doo-wop?
Sorry, I don't.
Oh, Devil or Angel. Anyway,
okay.
Will you be mine? Da-da-da-da. Love me or leave. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, sure, we need to have
What's funny
here
about
more
the
often.
Visual here know, is that right? It goes all the way. It shows him now, for those of you who are curious, who are those who
this
watch.
This is Bobby Vinton.
No. Bobby V,
is...
as opposed to Bobby Vinton. Those are two
geez,
different.
I need an education
see?
From y'all.
But it's funny because you see him now, like you do on one of our membership shows. But you see some old film of him when he's 18 and he looks like he's 6.
Aww.
And it's the beginning of his career. It's an awful lot of fun. On the local side, we're going to do something with a composer that's worked with the Indianapolis Symphony. And you may say, well, the symphony, that's audio. Isn't that like your area, radio? And we say, oh, no contraire. The latest composition by this composer, Gabriela Frank, comes from Ecuador. And we had a crew that went to Ecuador and got her latest composition. So even though it's our own backyard, it's a rather colorful and expansive backyard. And we hope you watch that, too. So that's I'm trying to give a little flavor of the show that it's pretty broad. And it'll take you all around the country and maybe even all around the world.
You know, it's worth noting, too, with what Jim is talking about in terms of the features that will be from other markets. But the Indianapolis stories will be told nationally as well. So what's being
right.
done here
right.
Will be seen in those top 30 markets around the country as well. So it's a mixture of those features from all around the country that we'll be able to share the Indianapolis stories as well.
So there's an opportunity to say not just what's important to us here in central Indiana, where the radio signal reaches, but also far beyond. What is it that we're known for? It's another way to put us on the map for some people who maybe haven't been here or have been here for the race or for the Super Bowl but don't know our arts and culture side.
I think that's right. I mean, there are 1,000 wonderful art stories to tell, in any given period of time. And with Clayton's talents and Jim's talents, the two of you, Travis and Sharon, will be able to highlight those stories and share them with the world.
You know, Jim was sort of jokingly setting up a... radio versus television but you know it is true, and Travis and I talk about this behind the scenes kind of regularly, that radio and TV are said in one breath. You used to be able, before it was called lumped into communications, you were a radio and TV major in college, but there's such different ways to approach a story.
Well, they certainly are. Sharon, you know, and I mean, I think back on just even some recent interviews I've done with visual artists who, even though they know they're going to be on radio, still insist on bringing their artwork into our radio studio.
Sure.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have it here because they want to talk about it and they want to be able to show it to me when I'm interviewing them. And I think it can actually make for some great, interesting and very creative radio in talking about that work. But at the same time, I mean, I've certainly thought, you know, it'd be great if we could also, you know, post a picture online or have some visual element. I think the thing that I'm most excited about sharing about this whole process maybe isn't so much specifically just the TV, but it's the sense that the different silos that perhaps have existed in broadcasting or in communications, the web base, the TV base, the radio base, that my understanding is we're really trying to merge them or break those barriers down. And so that, you know, in the past, perhaps maybe there's been, let's say, a visiting guest artist from out of town that had some connection to NPR on a national basis. And people would ask me, well, you know, why isn't that person on your show? Well, maybe we didn't even know about it or didn't have a connection. Or someone would say, oh, you know, that Pearl Jam show on TV, why didn't you guys talk about that on radio? I'm like, well, you know, and it's not that we weren't interested, but maybe we all just get so busy in our own work that, you know, we haven't really considered how to cross those platforms. And I think that is... You know, an exciting thing about this is that there's going to be, you know, whether you're interested in Art of the Matter online, on radio, on TV, there's going to be a lot of ways to access that information about the arts locally as well as nationally.
So ultimately, there'll be a portal that people can come through to go out to all those places you just mentioned.
Yeah, I'll let Clayton talk a little bit more about the sort of the digital portal that will be a part of all of this. But what Travis was talking about is a real challenge, I think, for us in media. It's not brand new, but this notion of convergence of the various distribution platforms has been around. But we're challenged and trying to meet the challenge through our own strategic planning of how we integrate television, radio, online, in person, social media across all of those platforms. When you think that WFYI has 3 24-hour day TV services, 2 24/7 radio services, a radio reading service for the visually impaired, social media, website. There's really 17.
Plus all the events.
Plus
and
all the in-person events.
Outreach.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
there's 17 distribution channels that we have access to, and so we want to share that with the public in a way that applies our media resources in ways that can have an impact on the community. And in the case of arts and culture, there's just such a rich environment in central Indiana that we want to expose across all of those media platforms. And certainly one of those is a greater commitment to an interactive web portal. So, Clayton, you might talk a little bit about that.
You know, WFYI is in the process right now of doing a complete redesign of its website. And that's something that will avail itself over the next few months. It may be the spring by the time that that happens. In the meantime, though, we are looking and hope to have launching concurrent with the new TV series an arts portal that could be available through WFYI.org that would be designed for the Art of the Matter. And that will then be integrated into the new website in its own very special, very fancy arts page once that becomes available as well.
I'm sorry, I'm picturing the TARDIS, a Doctor Who-like device that you step through and suddenly you're in this magical land where you can access all the arts and culture information.
You've been there.
That's
good. Clearly. That sounds like
you've seen
exactly
the prototype.
Exactly what we're talking about. It's just it's real and not magic.
Yeah, and it's a land where everyone has a bobblehead.
That's right. WFYI staff members Lloyd Wright, Clayton Taylor, and Jim Simmons, and your Art of the Matter host Sharon Gamble, and myself, Travis DiNicola. See the Art of the Matter on TV. That's right. See it on TV Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. on WFYI 1 beginning February 19th. For more information, visit WFYI.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll chat with Storytelling Arts' Ellen Munns.
I'll talk with organist Mark Harmon about his upcoming theater organ concert.
And then I'll get a preview of what the Hoosier Bard Theater Company is up to this spring. And there'll be our calendar of events we call
What Will We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you. ¶¶